What up, my dudes, and welcome to the Best Things About Pro Wrestling This Month, the show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month, whether it's a match, segment, character development, anything between. This is the show where we talk about some of the best things or the highlights of professional wrestling in any particular month. I'm one of the same hosts that's going to say, rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. The shocking news that happened a few hours ago. It's going to be uploaded on Monday, but the news that we have heard, it's just wild. It's just, this is probably the shocking news. I'm just lost for words, because let me just tell you how I found out, right? So I went and I just published my latest piece, right? My latest article for a site that I work for, right? And I was just going to go to sleep. I was like, you know, let me just prepare myself, you know, watch some YouTube videos, you know, before I go to sleep. And then I got a notification, because I don't know if you know, you know, like when you go to Chrome and it says, oh, we will notify you for the latest news and stuff, right, from these various wrestling sites. So I got one of the notifications that Bray Wyatt passed away at the age of 36. And at first, I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was a, like everyone else, I thought it was a hoax. But Triple H broke the news that Bray Wyatt has passed away at the age of 36. But then later on, it was reported by Sean Ross Sapp. He was given permission by the Rotunda family, which, by the way, shout out to Sean Ross Sapp. This guy is just the utmost care and the utmost professionalism that this man had. He could have easily just done speculating and could have been very unethical, but instead he went out of his way to make sure he got the right news and to also respect the family. And they could have not done this, but they did it anyways because they respect Sean Ross Sapp so much. So, man, we need, like, more than ever, we need great reporting from Sean Ross Sapp and the entire Fightful team. Shout out to you, man. Like, just if you're somehow listening to this, but he, you know, we need more people like in professional wrestling like Sean Ross Sapp. But it was reported by him that he suffered a heart attack. And I think one piece of advice that everybody's been echoing on, and something that I should follow as well, that you guys should follow, is tell the people you care about that you love them. Tell the people that you care about that you miss them, that you appreciate them, because you never know, man. Life can be so fucking cruel sometimes, and it could just, you know, like, tomorrow is never guaranteed. You know, every day living in this planet is a fucking blessing. And the fact that you're living to another day is, you know, like I said a few seconds ago, a fucking blessing. So just tell the people that you love them, that you appreciate them, because you never know. And, you know, it's just a shocking, shocking piece of news. And I want to talk about something about Bray Wyatt, right? Bray Wyatt, and I'm going to say this, Bray Wyatt is legitimately the greatest character performer, character wrestler in the history of this business that I've been a fan of for almost two decades. And part of the reason why that I've appreciated him so much is that he can don multiple personas that is completely different from him and is completely separate from the person and the character itself. And usually when it comes to professional wrestlers, it's always basically just an exaggerated version of themselves. But Bray Wyatt has shown us, has shown, you know, the entire professional wrestling, the wrestling community, that he can don multiple personas and do it in a fantastic way. To the point where I feel like if he's going to retire one day, I was like, yo, Hollywood should be calling him, because he's that creative and he's that so good. And the thing about professional wrestling is this. Professional wrestling, at its best, at its heart, is its simplicity. Simple storytelling. However, Bray Wyatt has done and has shown us that you can tell complex stories. You can sit there and tell stories that have never been told before, that you can not only tell some complex stories, but also stories that should be told, and the stories that we all can relate to, that we all can laugh and be in awe and wonder how this guy is just such a mind you know, that mind that we have. And I think us as human beings, let me tell you something. Our greatest asset as a human being is storytelling. And I think, and showcasing yourself and expressing yourself, that's how art has been created for years. It's just people for 200,000 years, human beings have expressed themselves in multiple different avenues. And Bray Wyatt has used the avenue that is professional wrestling to express himself, to make himself be an artistic human being. And that's what I got from him. And that's what everybody should get, is that if there's one thing we should learn from him, from the great person that Bray Wyatt is, from the various tributes that has been given out by the pro wrestlers that have loved him and appreciated him, is that we all should sit there and express ourselves, be an artist, be just to give away back to the things that we appreciate. And I think the way he expressed himself, the way he showcases multiple different personas, whether it was the Fiend, whether it was the Eater of Worlds, whether it was, you know, Uncle Howdy recently, you know, it's wild too, because around this time is when he made his main roster debut. I think it's like a few weeks prior, but it's been 10 years since he's been on the main roster. I think he faced Kane in an Inferno match at SummerSlam 2013, like 10 years, and just 36, man. What a, just gone too soon, gone too soon. I mean, we also had another OG, another legend that passed away recently, Terry Funk, but just two great people, two great person has made a huge impact in professional wrestling. It's just, I just cannot say it other than, you know, rest in peace to both Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt. And I think we, like I said earlier, if there's one thing we all should take from this is, you know, he has used professional wrestling to a medium that is known for its simplicity and its simplistic storytelling to tell complex stories, stories that you've never heard before, stories that by an idea like this is never going to work, but he made it work because he is Bray Wyatt and his creative vision, and he somehow made that fit, and he somehow made it fit into the professional wrestling landscape. And this is something that I've always appreciated, and this is something I love about this business as well, is that people can just express themselves, not only in the ways that feels authentic to themselves, but also a way to showcase themselves and be in mind and be the ease of themselves and say, you know what, I feel better. I just expressed myself. You know what? I feel good. I feel much better just expressing themselves, you know, holding ourselves back and saying, you know, I don't want to do it. But I think Bray Wyatt has shown us that you can actually express yourself, that you can actually be yourself, that you can actually express yourself in multitude of different ways, because he is Bray Wyatt. And this is something that I've learned from him. He was by far one of my favorite acts in WWE. You know, The Shield. Let's talk about a few moments, shall we? This is off the cuff. Let's do it anyways. One of my favorite things about the professional wrestling in Bray Wyatt specifically, in the business, in WWE, was The Shield and Wyatt Family the six-man tag at Elimination Chamber, which in my opinion should have happened at WrestleMania, because that's how much of a good match it was. To now, like, looking back, seeing two-thirds of the Bray Wyatt, like, passed away, of the Wyatt family passed away, it's just tragic. And that was, like, one of my favorite moments, just seeing that match, just killing it. Like, they were, like, heel personas at this point. But I think at the same time, I think it's just, what a fantastic match it was. Another fantastic Bray Wyatt moment that I want to share is the Elimination Chamber match from 2017. Man, when the crowd went crazy. Like, that's that era. SmackDown, that era of the brand split. Like, I'm losing my train of thought, but I feel like before the brand, I feel like because of the second iteration of the brand split, Bray Wyatt had a new lease on life because of the brand split, whether it was feuding with Randy Orton, and then Orton later joining him. And then you had Luke Harper, RIP, of course. he also joined Bray Wyatt, and then you had Eric Rowan later on that joined him as well. Just, it was like the way the reunification of the Wyatt family, and the fact that he not only won a tag team title, but also won the WWE title at Elimination Chamber, and the fact that he had a new lease on life because of the brand split. And that's what makes the brand split great, right? Is that before the brand split, like, you couldn't showcase a lot of talent. Like, talent that should be showcased isn't really being showcased. But the brand split has kind of shown, that you can, I'm just losing my train of thought because I can't believe this is happening, but that just happened. But I think it goes to show you that Bray, that you can showcase wrestlers that hasn't been showcased before. I remember that Cesaro and Sheamus best out of five matches. That was, that's a great example. Another great example that is the Bray Wyatt storyline, which started slow but picked up pretty nicely, in my opinion. So his win at the Elimination Chamber 2017 was great. The debut of The Fiend, I remember SummerSlam 2019 with Finn Balor. What a great way to debut that persona. Like, at this point, he reinvented himself again and said, let me redo it again. Let me try to re-outdone myself. And he did it with the music, like with the modified version of his theme song, with a more hard and more rocky and hard kind of bass to it, you know? And he just, like it's into the mask, just made it so intimidating. Like, you can tell a lot of a persona, of a character, just by looking at them. You can tell, you know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words, but that persona, the Fiend character itself is worth a thousand words. And even the Firefly Funhouse, those segments that led to those matches were fantastic. And like I've said before, it's because Bray Wyatt was he allowed himself to express himself and had ideas in a setting in professional wrestling that you might think wouldn't work, but it did work because of his creativity and the way that he expressed himself and the way he put himself out there, because that's how good he was. And also, it led to, in my opinion, this is an unpopular opinion. I liked Alexa Bliss as when she aligned herself with Bray Wyatt. That entire storyline, she was great too. That's another one that has been a very good character performer, you know, in Alexa Bliss, which I've said in my very first episode of this entire podcast, like 3 years ago at this point, which is wild. But yeah, that relationship with Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt, that very twisted kind of, you know, couple, like that twisted kind of, but also like oddly fitting type of duo that actually worked. I think it was also in the midst of the feud between him and Braun Strowman, and then Alexa Bliss was thrown in there as well. Yeah. Another favorite moment that I could think, I remember his match at Battleground 2015 with Roman Reigns. That match was actually very good. That was Roman. That is one of Roman Reigns' best matches, in my opinion. No pun intended. You know, best. No pun intended. That was another great match with, I think, Battleground 2015. That was great as well. And another, I think the other highlight that I could think of, I remember when he had a short babyface run in 2016. I think that was the Raw after WrestleMania 32, or like the week after that, where he basically I think it was the League of Nations. He was feuding the League of Nations. And then, you know, when Bray Wyatt hit the Sister Abigail, and then Roman, and then after he hit the Sister Abigail, Bray Wyatt just looked at Roman Reigns. He pointed at him. He's like, point to this guy. I think it was Alberto Del Rio that Roman Reigns speared. But he was like, go and spear him. And then Roman just speared him, and it was just one, two, three. It wasn't just because the move was cool, but also the execution, like the camera angle. This is one of those rare moments where I'm like, yo, the WWE camera, the WWE, like the cinematography from that entire shot was so good. Which is wild too, because earlier this year, they botched the return of the debut of AJ Styles because of that camera. That was one of the worst cinematography you've ever seen, but this one was the best cinematography, the best camera shot you've ever seen in, I would say, in WWE history, in my opinion. That's how good it was. It was so fucking cool, man. I just, I'm geeking out, folks. I'm fucking geeking out. That's how good it was. But yeah, those are some of the moments that I could think of Bray Wyatt. Again, just gone too soon. Thoughts to the family. I just cannot imagine a kid losing a father in a very. I'm actually gonna shed some thug tears, but just losing a parent at such an early age. I don't know. Thank you. I'm just gonna say this. Thank you, Bray. Thank you so much for expressing yourself. Thank you so much for putting yourself into the business. Thank you so much for, you know, making something that wouldn't work in this, that wouldn't work in a simplistic yet very fulfilling piece of entertainment, made it work and made that work. Thank you so much for just, like everybody else, but especially Bray Wyatt, just express yourself, be yourself. And when you got out the, when you put it out the way, you're like, you know, it feels like therapy almost. And another moment that I could think of is his promo on SmackDown after he returned to Extreme Rules last year, which is, that was a great return. You know, the crowd went nuts, and him coming back, just, that was a great promo because he was himself and he was being himself, and you can tell like he felt that way because he felt that the audience appreciated him so much, and that's exactly what he got. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bray Wyatt, for expressing yourself, for showcasing yourself, for cutting promos that I could probably be referencing once or twice a week or something, because his character means to me so much. Because I love guys like The Undertaker. I love those supernatural, like, S characters, those culty-ass characters, because they're so different amongst the pack, and he did it. And I want to thank you. Thank you, Bray Wyatt. Thank you so much. You've made this industry a whole lot better. With the little time you've been in this industry, you've made a huge impact. And you've probably inspired a next generation of wrestlers that would continue the legacy of telling complex stories and expressing yourself and continuing that legacy of just being yourself, expressing yourself, and telling complex stories that other wrestlers wouldn't tell because it just doesn't fit them. But he made it work because he's such a creative individual. So thank you so much. And so yeah, now without further ado, let's talk about the things, the honorable mentions about the things I've loved about in the month of August. Also, apologies for not uploading the month of July, for talking about the highlights of July. I was just very sick at that time. So I was like, yeah, I was ready to go. I was going to go and record an episode. But then I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I didn't feel good. Like, I was just really, really sick. And so I was like, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. Like, I'm not going to force myself to just create content, especially when I'm ill, right? So just take care of yourselves, guys. Take care of yourselves. So yeah, the things that I liked about in the month of August, which, by the way, I have a very special guest with me, and that is Cameron Hawkins, aka Seahawk, for the people on Twitter, and off the Ringer, used to be on PW Torch and Fansided, but now he's on the Ringer. He's doing great stuff. He's written some fantastic articles, including the one about Ricky Stark, which we'll be talking about Ricky Starks in just a little bit, but let's talk about the things that we like about August, shall we? Let's talk about the things we like about August. And the first thing I liked about in the month of August is not a match, not a segment, not a character development, more like a tease, right? And that is Chris Danker, a.k.a. Chris Danger, a.k.a. Dank Ops. He's teasing a match with him and Adam Cole at the Deathlock Pro Wrestling Show. And he's basically teasing that he's going to go in the ring. And it's wild, too, because it's like, I remember when I was a teenager watching, you know, the Chris Danger videos on YouTube, the WWE 2K 15, 2K16 career modes. And it was such a good series that people started downloading his claw, or my bad, his car. And people were just downloading him because you know, he got so much engagement, so many metrics and so many views that he got from those videos that people started using him into their universe more, so much so that I remember watching, I think, a JD from NY video many years ago where he used Chris Danger as part of his, like, overall, like, WWE, like, 2K universe mode. So that's how it goes to show that Chris Danger character has put an impact on certain people, even if Big Person himself isn't a professional wrestler, at least not until now. So the fact that if you told me like a 7 years, even a decade ago, that, oh yeah, Chris Dankops, he's going to be facing Adam Cole, I was like, well, what are you? I'll call you crazy if you told me that. But now it's happening, and I think it's because he's preying on the, not preying, but playing on the nostalgia aspect for all the young folks like myself. Yes, I'm very young, and I've made some of my older fans feel like 1,000 years old. But yeah, he made us feel like just nostalgic because he's wrestling with that theme. You remember that theme music? Oh my god, even though that was a music from like the custom theme music from the WWE games, from WWE, not 2K games, even I think it was on the SmackDown versus Raw games, because I remember I used to do those WWE, like, creator wrestler, by the way, I'm just gonna say this out of the way, the creator wrestler mode is probably the best character creation in the history of video games, at least in my opinion. I've never played even some of the best video games, like or Dark Souls, for example. Even their character creation is pretty, pretty, pretty piss poor. But the WWE wrestling games, their creator wrestler mode, their creator character mode is probably the best. I would say the best. You can create anything. To a point, you could see people creating Spider-Man and Hulk and the Servo Surfer, and they nail the skin tone right, and they nail even the little details in the skin tone as well. And they just did it because, again, it's that good. Like, their character creator is probably the best, not only in wrestling, but in the history of video games, in my opinion. It's up there, in my opinion. But, yeah, that's a great stuff. And it kind of reminds me of the days of, like, Tubby Emu and Ed Pulse and Tony Pizza Guy. And it's funny because there's another... The first ever, like, WWE, like, games channel that I used to watch is none of those guys. Actually, it was a dude by the name of Lion's Edge. I don't know if you know who he is. If you know who he is, you're an OG in this space, because I remember watching his videos. He used to do the SmackDown versus Raw games. He used to review the WWF No Mercy, WWF SmackDown Know Your Role, you know, those PS1, PS2 games. You know, he used to review wrestling games, and it was wild too, because I remember watching his videos, and I remember at that time he had like 13,000 subs, and he still does, because unfortunately he stopped making content. But I feel like I've thought about this, like, if Lion's Edge actually kept on making those videos, because at that time he was like the only lead person that was reviewing wrestling games other than the IGNs and the GameSpots of the world. So the fact that he's one of the first guys to do it, and it sucks that he just stopped making content. Like, it's wild, because, like, I'm subscribed to, like, 300 YouTube channels, and, like, 90% of them just stopped making videos because it's no longer fun for them, so that sucks. But I'm hoping for the return of Lion's Edge, and I'm hoping that a Chris Danker versus Chris Danger. Danger. Oh, to the danger zone. So, Chris Danger and Adam Cole match hopefully happens soon. And yeah, speaking of Danger Zone, he had a YouTube channel called The Danger, it wasn't a YouTube channel where he was showcasing other wrestling content creators, and the aforementioned, I think JD from NY was there as well, and other wrestling content creators were there as well. It was there to showcase other wrestling content creators. I hope he brings that back, by the way. That would be sick for, you know, small creators like myself. That would be sick, right? So, speaking of the YouTube space, another honorable mention of the month of August is Maven's YouTube channel. And the reason why I say this is not because I've been enjoying his content and I feel like his content is very informative, But I feel like this his YouTube videos will set a standard for other legends, other, you know, former pro wrestlers in WWE to create high quality content on YouTube. Because, for example, his video on how WWE wrestlers make money. That's something that everybody thinks about. But he's like, I'm going to make a video about it. And also his thumbnail game is on point. The video, it's so high quality. His react video where he reacted to John Oliver's piece on WWE, that was very good. I think it was the Apple TV or something. That was really fucking cool. Like, he's just really, really cool. Like, it's just, the guy, he understands YouTube. You know, he understands the YouTube game. You know that meme, I'm not familiar with your game? That's exactly what he showed us. He showed me that we're not familiar with his game, but now he is. And I think he's going to make a shit ton of money from content creating if he keeps on. Because his videos have been getting hundreds of thousands of views. And one of them reached 1 million views because of the how WWE wrestlers make money back then, especially back in the mid-2000s. And he talks about residuals and stuff like that. And just a very informative video. And also, not only his channel showed up, also Stevie Richards, you know, Stephen Richards also talked about his days in WWE as well. He created a separate channel for it, which is wild, because he's also a YouTube OG as well. But it's kind of wild that, like, we went from Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona's, like, true Long Island story, and now we've seen to Maven creating his own content on YouTube with such high quality, with such precision that he understands a YouTube game. And I feel like that will inspire other legends in the business to create high quality content. It's similar when Chris Jericho launched his podcast like a decade ago, and that led to other legends having a podcast. Now we have 1 million of wrestling podcasts, including this one, which, by the way, please hit that 5 stars if you enjoyed this so far. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. So I think he's going to inspire a lot of, like, wrestling creators to just launch their own channels. And look, I'm going to say this. Within next year, he's going to reach 100,000 subs. So there you go. Shout out to Maven. I've been enjoying his content so far. You guys, all my 8 viewers that listen to this, you guys could check it out because I think it's awesome. The final thing that I liked about the month of August, the honorable mentions, of course, is the Fatal 4-Way match to crown the number one contenders match for the IC title, which was revealed, which led to the victory of Chad Gable. Of course, he's a fucking Chad because he is probably the best wrestler in WWE right now, the best worker in professional wrestling right now. And then... obviously, this past week on Monday Night Raw, he had a great match with Gunther that ended in a countout victory over him. So yeah, we're probably going to see that match on Payback, the rematch on Payback. But even if they don't do it on Payback, I would love to see that storyline stretch out till the Royal Rumble, where I could just see Chad Gable win the whole thing, win the Intercontinental Championship, win the title and win the Intercontinental Championship. Stretch that storyline out if you want to keep on doing that storyline, in my opinion, because I think it's cool. I think you could do it, you know, especially since he already broke the Honky Tonk's man record by that point by next year. So, and we only a few months till next year anyway, so why not, right? Why not have stretch that storyline just a little bit and have him win in the Royal Rumble, or at least in, like, I don't know if they're going to bring back TLC or something, or maybe at Survivor Series. I don't mind Survivor Series either. Let me know, guys. Add me at the X platform, the site formerly known as Twitter, at Omar the Player Guy. Let me know, like, you know, do you want to see a Chad Gable winning the IC title? I would say not anytime soon, but I would love to see it, not only in the Royal Rumble if they want to stretch that storyline out, but I would love to see it at Survivor Series too, you know, since they're moving away from the Raw versus SmackDown brand supremacy thing, which was so stupid. By the way, let's just talk about it. It's so stupid. Like, imagine having a brand supremacy kind of storyline, especially when the said brand supremacy had wrestlers moving from one brand to another. And they've barely been on the show for like a month and a half. And it's like, why am I Like, it doesn't make sense. Why are they loyal to a brand that they've only barely been there for like at least a month and a half? I would understand if it's like 6 months or 10 months or like a year. Why a month and a half? And then they're fighting against a brand that they were fighting against, that they were part of that said brand. Let's say, like, I don't know, Matt Riddle, right? He was part of the SmackDown brand. Now he later joined the Raw brand in a brand split. Why is he like, I never understood. Why is he fighting for the brand that he was just in exclusively a month ago? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't know. Hit that 5 stars if you're always confused about dumb WWE bookings like myself. So yeah, without further ado, here it is. Me and Cameron Hawkins, aka Seahawk, off the ringer. Of me and him talking about the best things about pro wrestling in the month of August.
Okay, my next lead this time is a writer for The Ringer, also a podcaster for the South Congress. South Congress podcast? Is it South Congress or South Con? I don't know. I just butchered the name. But anyways, yeah, podcaster, writer for Fan, formerly from Fansided and PW Torch, also does podcasting for the East Torch podcast. And also a writer for The Ringer, which he's done a great interview with MJF recently. So yeah, my man, Cameron Hawkins. Cam, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. Thank you for having me on.
It's a great appreciate. I've actually wanted you to be on here for like at least several months now, but I couldn't get it done because I've been very busy with college and work and stuff like that. But let's get the excuses out of the way. But you're here, and that's all that matters. You show me so. Let me just ask you, you know, obviously, you know, the tragic news that happened of the passing of Bray Wyatt, and I talked about this a little bit in the intro about some of my favorite moments of Bray Wyatt. So let me just ask you this. What was some of your favorite Bray Wyatt moments that made you say, man, this guy is really dope? Like, what was that moment that he's like, you know, I really appreciate this guy a lot more? What was that one Bray Wyatt moment for you?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I liked him since his NXT, man. I was a fan of Husky Harris. He was the tank with the Ferrari engine, man. A guy that tried to move in that way was really cool. And, you know, I was a fan of his dad growing up. IRS was a staple of my childhood. But really, man, the Firefly Funhouse match with John Cena.
That was dope.
Really got to see kind of the full creative of Bray Wyatt. Kind of having to go through, you know, it's like if you played an old No Mercy game, there were winding paths whether you won or lost. So to see the different versions of John Cena, like NWO John Cena, you just really got to see the full realization of the creative that Bray Wyatt was. So I really appreciated that, man. I was always a fan of the work. I think sometimes the booking didn't do a great job, but that's just a part of being creative. What you do is not always going to fit into you know, the box that you're put in, but I thought that he had some really great moments, thought he really figured out who he wanted to present. And then you know, personally, I was at the press conference after Royal Rumble, so it was kind of the last time, you know, really speaking with the media, and you know, you could really see the joy and the appreciation of what he'd put together. He felt like he was in a good place. He loved where he was going forward. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that was really the last time that we as media got to see him, that a lot of people got to see him, even though he was in the ring with Taker after that. But yeah, man, really that Firefly Funhouse match with John Cena, I think was like the culmination of everything that he put together. So that was my moment.
You know, I've said this in the intro a little bit earlier, but, you know, professional wrestling at its heart is the simple storytelling. You know, the good guy versus bad guy, very linear, very static type of storytelling. But I feel like Bray Wyatt and the stuff he's done with The Fiend and even the Eater of the Worlds has kind of shown us that you can tell complex storytelling in professional wrestling. He just used wrestling as a medium, but he used it to express himself in a way that is just such... just makes people awe and wonder, like, how the hell did he do that with the Firefly Funhouse stuff? But it's just, it goes to show you how much of a creative person he is. And I think one of the things that we should take from him, because, you know, I'm all about taking, like, you know, certain advice or certain things that we can take away from a persona. When it comes to Becky Lynch, the one thing we should take away from her is confidence. One of the things I take away from Bray Wyatt is we all should tell not only complex storytelling, because I mean, we as human beings have been storytelling for 200,000 years, but also just to express yourself in a way, to express yourself in a way that people would just appreciate you, whether they like it or not, but still like respect the fact that you did it anyways, you feel me? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, but yeah, let's just talk about the things we liked about August. But before I get to do that, I want to ask you a little bit about your job at The Ringer. So first of all, congratulations. Basically working for Spotify at this point. So shout out to you. But you. I was actually on Spotify the other day listening to, I think it was Coach Contra. I think the rap duo. So shout out to them. They're great. But anyways, so I want to ask you one thing that's been, you know, curious upon somebody who's quote unquote in the wrestling media kind of sphere. So when you're on, you know, Ringer and you've, you know, interviewed certain wrestlers, has the business ever changed? Has the perception of the business ever changed because of, as a result of you interviewing those guys? If so, what is the things that has changed in terms of like the perception of the business? If not, have you always felt about the business even after your job at The Ringer or not? So, you know, that's something that I've always been curious. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, working at The Ringer is not really what changed my perception on certain stuff. It was really before that. I was kind of lucky enough to be, you know, kind of popular on social media and be talking about wrestling.
At least.
I got to like meet and talk to a bunch of wrestlers in private way before this job. You know what I mean? So those conversations are where I really got to understand more about the business, like, you know, who you have to talk to backstage and who might have your best interests at heart and who you got to watch out for. And so that was all really beforehand. More of what I see now, because, you know, I wasn't part of the process of bringing people on. What I see more now is the different like people you have to go through and how that's done. Like I get to see more of the corporate side more than anything now. You know, I go to, you know, the events and the dinners and the charity stuff. And so I see more of that more than anything else. So I understand more of what the business side of the business is, but yeah, my perception didn't really change with that job. That's really changed like over the last few years, just getting to know people more, having conversations with them about, you know, how things are going, whether it's good, bad, or in between. But yeah, the job is more an extension of the corporate side, because I wrote about this when I wrote about Max. So what happens is whenever I want to interview somebody or they want me to interview somebody, because like, WWE will more reach out, like when they were doing all the shows on A&E on cable, they would have A&E would reach out to me asking me if I wanted to interview X, Y, and Z, right? With AEW and WWE, I'll typically reach out to their media person or their comm person, my guy Danny in AEW, and then my guy Greg in WWE. I'll shoot them an idea or they'll shoot me an idea, and then, you know, they'll send me somebody, we'll set up a time. But yeah, that's more, that's way more the business part, like seeing kind of how that's made. But no, conversations in private over the years are more of what adjusted the way that I see things and the way that I talk about wrestling.
You know, the reason why I'm asking is because I recently interviewed a bunch of indie wrestlers like last year. And one of the things, and this may sound weird, but one of the things that I've learned, like one of the things that I've took away something, yo, I didn't know this before, is cardio. That was something that they always preach about, how like running through the ropes and not like being gassy all the time, just not being holding you, just like, you know, that to me was something, yo, I didn't know that, because I thought like all shapes and sizes, you know, can, you know, wrestle. But I realized like being in a somewhat of a fit state is somewhat just maintaining your cardio. And I know like a lot of gym bros, at least I've told, they hate that exercise. They hate it. That's the worst part. I hate that shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Like AEW was in town. This is in like October and November. And like some of the guys invited me out after the show. So like we go meet up and I'm like, you know, do you want something? Like water. Like people now that are like, I'm not drinking. And if I do drink, it's got to be like an off week or like, you know, weight room training. They're way more like health conscious now, not just in shape, but health conscious.
Yeah, and so I have noticed that.
Yeah, and so, like you said, with cardio, like even the people who don't have like amazing physiques are very much aware of gotta run, gotta go work out, gotta run. So yeah, that has changed for sure.
Yeah, that has changed. But yeah, let's talk about the things that happened in August. And obviously, because the things that happened in August is obviously SummerSlam, for example, the upcoming show that's coming up, All in London, Cam's favorite place, I'm sure. By the way, this is just my prediction, okay? This is just a quick prediction for All in London. It's going to be a good show, and it's going to be a long show. So those are the two things. But yeah, I want to ask you about your thoughts on like wrestling in August. You know, like, did you like it? Did you didn't like? What was the month of August feeling for you? Like, did you like it, hate it? Like,
There's some stuff I really like. Chad Gable really getting the spotlight jumps out to me.
Yeah.
Really like that. Trick Williams, like, starting to develop. He's been really, really cool. So that's appreciated. I don't know. It was in August. I don't remember the date, but I thought putting the title on Sheeta was a good move. So that was really good. Excuse me. Of course, like, the colon MJF stuff has been great. You know, I love seeing my boy Ricky Starks, like, really get to flesh out that personality on screen. Because, in the way that Bray Wyatt is, like, a creative, like, Rick is that, too. Like, he's very detailed and meticulous about how he's presented and what he presents. And so, like, getting to see him do that on screen, I think, has been really, really great. Willow Nightingale, like really coming to the forefront. The Street Profits getting with Bobby Lashley. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I like. I thought that, you know, as good as SummerSlam was, Bianca had a crazy, crazy showing. Sky's been great. I've loved, like, LA Knights, like, really been able to prosper, and they seem to be running with it. There's a lot to like. I thought that the main event of SummerSlam, like, I they should have been way more detailed about what Tribal Combat meant. But, you know, I love, like, Jay getting the spotlight. Like, yeah, there's a whole lot to like. It's been a fun month, I think.
Yeah, it has been a fun month. So, yeah, one of the things that I liked about the month of August, which is the best things about pro wrestling in the month of August, my number one best things about pro wrestling in the month of August, is Edge versus Sheamus. I know it happened like last week, but that was Edge's final match in WWE. That was basically the I'm probably going to go to AEW type of match. But it's wild that he's never wrestled Sheamus 1-on-1, which is wild, because back in like 2010, you would think, I mean, they've encountered each other multiple times during like multi-person matches back in like 2010 or something.
Uh-huh.
But I never, like, I was shocked that they've never had a 1-on-1 match. So that's wild. The match was great itself. I think that was a great tribute to Edge. They've made a great video package. It happened in his hometown in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Toronto Tings. It was great stuff. So shout out to Edge. I mean, what a great career he's had in WWE, especially slapping an old guy named John Cena Sr. That was a funny moment to me. I don't know why. He was such a prick, but he played a prick to a perfection, which is wild, because like a few years before that, he was a great babyface before that as well. People loved him. People were cheering on him. And then like a few years later, he was just a prick and he was just awesome. So I wanted to ask you, like, what were your thoughts on like the Edge versus Sheamus match? And were you shocked as me, you know, were you shocked as me thinking like, yo, they should have, they probably wrestled before. So what are your thoughts on the match itself? And quick synopsis of the career of Edge in your fandom so far.
For sure. Match was really, really good. You know, Edge is older and Edge has dealt with a lot of injuries and things like here at the very tail end of his career. And so it was great for him, if he goes out on that note, for it to be that. It's a fantastic match. You know, I was in the building at Royal Rumble in Houston in 2020 when he came back. Craziest pop I've ever heard. Got to meet him through one of their PR people, one of WWE's PR people at WrestleMania weekend. It was great to finally meet him. Been a fan of his forever, man. Edge is one of my favorites to play as, going all the way back to like WrestleMania 2000. You know, love the Brood stuff, TLC. But I think, yeah, Edge's greatest contribution to the business, he is John Cena's best rival. And like, look, and John Cena wrestled a lot of people way after Edge. You know what I'm talking? This
yeah.
13 years ago or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, absolutely is like John Cena's best rival. He was nasty. He, you know, could be evil. He was aggressive. It was great to see him kind of break out of tag team wrestling and become like what he was. Yeah, one of my all-time favorites. Edge is fantastic. And, you know, for somebody to be as big of a fan of wrestling that he was, normally those are the people they say can't make it. But he flipped that on its head, man. A fantastic career, fantastic wrestler. Yeah, he's great. Edge is great.
You know what's funny? You know, whenever we talk about tag teams and, you know, the tag team breakup, which is a very cliche in wrestling storytelling, right? It's funny because when it comes to Edge and Christian, they're one of those rare tag teams where there's no, the quote-unquote, genetti of the group. They both were, like, successful in their own different ways, both Edge and Christian. So it's kind of funny that they were a great tag team together, and they were great, like, even outside, to the point where, like, I was a fan. I became a fan around 2007. I made you 1,000 years old, so apologies for that. But I became a fan around 07, and I didn't even realize that they were a tag team until like a few months later when I was like researching. You know, when you're a wrestling fan, you kind of do like research and history and stuff like that. So when they were a tag team, I was like, yo, they were great as a tag team. And now, you know, I was a fan to the point when both were like solo acts at this point, and they were great even then. So it just goes to show you that they're one of those rare tag teams. I would also probably think of The Shield as well, and I would also say The New Day as well. They're one of those tag teams where they were great solo and they were great together. So yeah, shout out to Edge. Shout out to Edge and Christian. Shout out to, you know, Christian being, speaking of great heels, you know, I mean, Christian doing great things as the TNT champion right now, you know, just great stuff, you know what I mean? But yeah, let's transition to the thing that you just mentioned a little bit earlier. And you talked about a person that you mentioned a little bit earlier, and it was Bianca Belair. And that is my second highlight in the month of August, which is a triple threat match between Asuka, Charlotte Flair, and Bianca Belair for the WWE Women's title. Let's just get this out of the way. SummerSlam was by far the weakest pay-per-view of the bunch, which I've said in a previous podcast before that WWE has been on a roll with very, very good pay-per-views. It's one of those like good pay-per-views, but it's like good, but I would have done something differently, but I still enjoyed it, that kind of moment. But yeah, that triple threat match was great. The EO cash-in later on was so good. Bianca Belair sold the knee just to a perfection, to the point I thought she was legitimately injured. But you know, all these old heads tell me, oh man, you know, wrestlers, they can't be wrestling though. They can't sell no more, Maji. Just look at Bianca Belair right now. She convinced me, and I think she convinced you as well, and it was awesome. So I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on the match itself, and why do you think, in your opinion, is probably the best match of the night? But I'll just go in.
You have three stellar athletes in there.
Yeah.
You know, Bianca Belair, I think, is the best athlete in WWE. Probably really close. And then Io Sky, like, Io Sky has to jump to the middle rope to jump to the top rope, but it's the smoothest thing you've ever seen. You know what I mean? Like,
so good.
The only thing NXT did for her was teach her where to look at the camera. You know what I mean? Like, she was a complete wrestler before she got there. She just needed, you know, a bit of TV training. But yeah, I mean, that's three of the very best talents in the entire world in there.
Mm.
You know, man, woman, animal, mineral, vegetable, whatever. They are three of the very best. And so, you know, I think they get in there. And Bianca's thing, you know, her and I talked about this. You know, she, and Asuka, I'm sorry. I certainly don't mean to leave Asuka out of this. Like, Asuka's...
Yeah, you shouldn't.
when I talked to Bianca, what she told me was when she started wrestling, like when she got to NXT, they used to have to tell her to slow down. But then when she get in there with Asuka, she felt comfortable, like, I can go as fast as I want because Asuka's going to go that speed. And so, you know, there's synergy in there. There's chemistry in there between the three of them. So you have that great match, and then you have the exclamation point at the end with the cash-in, and Bayley clocked Charlotte with that briefcase, man. It was amazing. But yeah, I think it's just you have top tier talent willing to go out there and give their all. And it's hard to have a bad match out of that, but you make that, you know, for the title basically twice. I think you get the very best of them. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great match in a pay-per-view, in the show. Oh, PLE. I'm sorry. Excuse me. In a show that was pretty the weakest, but still enjoyed it for the most part. I also reviewed it on my bodyslam.net, which you can check out in the description. Speaking of, shout out to Body Slam. I mean, you also do a podcast with Nick Perkins, so shout out to you.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of articles, my highlight of the August obviously is when Keith Lee shouted me out. So shout out to Keith Lee, man. He shouted me out not once but twice. In that same era too, where he was like, thank you so much, Omar. So yeah, is this the part where I'm stroking my ego? Probably. But no, that's stuff, just yeah, it was great stuff. That made my entire week, by the way. That was awesome. But yeah, let's just mention the person that you also mentioned a little bit earlier. That person is Ricky Starks, and that is my third and last thing that I liked about the month of August, which was his vignette/perfume commercial-esque kind of promo at the, I think it was last week's episode at the AEW Collision, which, by the way, to quote a user from a site formerly known as Twitter, John F. Freeze, he said, is this a tease to I Need a Girl part six? And to which I say that would never happen, because like me, Loon is a good Muslim boy. So I want to ask you about Ricky Starks and that vignette-esque promo, that perfume-esque kind of promo. And what are your thoughts on Ricky Starks in AEW Collision? Because I do think without that show, he would probably be underutilized. But yeah, go ahead. What are your thoughts on that promo? Because it was hilarious.
That's what, when he got over there, I was just over the moon for him. And my biggest thing about Collision has been, like, they have a smaller cast. And so people get to flesh out their characters more, I remember I was at a pool party in San Antonio. And it was the same night that Rick and Punk in the final for the Owen.
Yeah.
And so we're at the party, we got the iPad outside, we're all watching it. And Rick wins, and then like we FaceTime him, and like all my boys that he knows, and we're like, Rick, you smoked out. We're all excited for him. But it's been great, man. Like I think Dynamite has so much to do in 2 hours, right? Mm-hmm. They have so many acts that they try to get on, so many matches that they have, and that's great. I love that Collision is focused on 3 or 4 or 5 people. Mm-hmm. They're really the focal point. And, as good as Rick is, like, in the ring, he's excellent in a different way at the vignettes. And he's so good. Like, I remember, it was months ago, we're talking, and I'm like, yo, what are you doing today? Like, I was going to brunch with some friends. Like, what are you doing today? He's like, oh, I'm out here at a rock formation filming. I was like, oh, okay. That's how his brain works, man. Like he, is very, very much focused on the character. Like, people compare him to The Rock a lot. But, Rick's favorite wrestler growing up was The Undertaker, And so he's very much like, this is my character. I need to protect this at all costs. I am going to work on this and work on this and work on this every chance I get so that it comes across as authentic as possible on screen. Yeah, he's amazing. He really is.
You know what's funny? I said this months ago in my pod, which I actually clipped on my YouTube, which actually did very good numbers, and because it's funny. And I said, people just like comparing Dwayne Johnson and Ricky Starks because they're just two light-skinned mofos, man. Like, it's just like...
Yeah, and it's clothes. Like, yeah.
That's... Yeah, expensive clothes and just light-skinned dudes, right? But yeah, that was hilarious. But yeah, that was a great moment for Ricky Starks. I do think he's probably the best thing about, I mean, to no pun intended, the best thing about AEW Collision, and it's also my favorite wrestling show right now, and it also hosted my favorite match of the year so far with FTR and Bullet Club Gold, which I'm pretty sure you fucking loved it too. That was one of my favorite match of the year, which is wild because 2023 was a great year. Right? Yeah, it was a great match. WrestleMania 39 could have been
the best WrestleMania since 17, but then it went to like a very good show, and we know why. And but it's, I mean, August in general, like you said earlier, it was a pretty good month in professional wrestling. So it is what it is. That was it was just great stuff. I mean, but yeah, it was just a very, very good month of wrestling. So I'm just going to let you get out of here, because, you know, it's only like 24 minutes, but I recorded like a 30-minute intro, so it is what it is. So so where can the people find you and all that good stuff? Because I know you're doing the Ringer and other stuff, so where can the people find you, basically?
Yeah, for sure. So social media, it's Seahawk, it's C-E-E-H-A-W-K. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, you know, whatever has a handle. by writing, primarily at theringer.com. Most recently, I talked to MJF leading into All In. We really talked about, you know, his goals of being the greatest AEW champion of all time. Really fun conversation. On top of that, you can find a lot of my writing at Fightful.com. Most recently at Fightful, I did talk about the Great American Bash, which I did actually attend in person back in July. Really fun just talking about how the event itself affected the trajectories of a lot of people coming up. Talk some Jim Crockett, talk some WCW, talk some WWE. So it was really fun. And then I got an interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin on there as well. As a South Texas kid, you know, before I'm even a wrestling fan, that was an amazing conversation. It was great to talk to Steve about transitioning away from Stone Cold and just being Steve. It was really, really cool. And then also on Fightful, starting Sunday morning.
I was going to mention that, my bad. Yeah, your show with Rob Wilkins, shout out to him, friend of the show.
Rob, man. Our show, my point is, it's going to be a monthly show covering the month in wrestling. That's going to be
like this podcast.
Exactly. Covering the month in wrestling. We actually start tomorrow morning. It's going to be a live show, and it'll be, 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern, so it's going to lead into 0 hour. It's going to be really fun. I like Rob a lot. Rob cracks a lot of jokes that I refuse to laugh at, but that's my guy. Once a month. A little bit of everything, man. Got some fun stuff coming up in September. We got the merch out with 4-year wear. A little bit of everything, man. Just trying to stay involved, trying to stay neat.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm doing. So I'm just going to plug myself out of the way since we're going to get out of here. Follow me on Twitter the site formerly known as Twitter, at @Umar_theplayerguy. Follow me on all the social medias at Best Things About Pro Wrestling this month. I upload the weekly clips. Speaking of one of the clips, it's doing fantastic numbers. So shout out to y'all, like, just supporting, keep the momentum going, because, you know, this podcast might go somewhere. We're already at episode 14 and it's already doing well. So shout out to y'all. So just follow me at Best Things About Pro Wrestling this month. I'm going to follow you on Seahawk. I didn't do that on Instagram. I'm definitely going to do that. So it is what it is. But yeah, all the plugs out of the way. So I don't know how to end this other than we out.